This isn't our text, but over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, writer tells us in the 18th verse, he says, "Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning." Now, notice, he said, "and in everything." We shouldn't have to be told we should give thanks for everything. But in everything, give thanks. Now, even lost people, and this isn't the text, but y'all go ahead and stand. Go to Hebrews. Y'all are going to make sure that I keep my word, aren't you? I'm thankful. Thank you. I need it. I need help. Who said amen? Boy, you ladies stick together, don't you? Thanksgiving's coming up. The time we reflect God's goodness and His blessings to us. We should be grateful and thankful. And it's amazing to me. It's natural that we're grateful for our health, our family, our homes and security. We're grateful for those things. And beloved, as Christians, we should be. But you know, even lost people are grateful for those things. But where the writer of 1 Thessalonians is trying to bring us to is, for us that are saved, those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yes, we're thankful for those physical things, but come to the understanding that those physical things can be taken away. Your health, you can be healthy today and on your deathbed tomorrow. Your family can split up. Your money in the bank, at you know, one little swipe, it's gone. Those things can take place, but for us that know Jesus as our personal Savior, there's things that we are to be thankful for that are eternal. That's never going to be taken away from. And we have that. The world doesn't. But we have it. So we should thank God for it. All right, is everybody in Hebrews chapter 13? No, I said this isn't my text. See, y'all ain't paying no attention, are you? Hebrews 13 is going to be my text. I said the writer of 1 Thessalonians. I just gave you a verse out there. See? Some of you are paying attention. There's not a 14. And there's not a book of Hezekiah either, brother. Hebrews is right before James, in case some of you need some help. All right, Hebrews 13. Let's begin with verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but praise God we seek one to come. By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love You and praise You. Thank You for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand before your people, proclaim your word. Father, I want to thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon me. Thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon your church here at Lone Mountain. And I'm thankful for everyone that's gathered here in this place this morning. But Father, as we come, I pray that our hearts and our minds are focused on worshiping you today in spirit and in truth. And we pray that your word, the Holy Spirit, will remind us why we should indeed be thankful for all of those things, Lord, that are eternal. Not just those things that are going to burn up one day. We know, as the scripture tells us, Lord, that everything's going to burn one day. Lord, may we never put our trust in those things, just those things that are everlasting and eternal. Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of those I stand before, but if there's one here today that doesn't know you and the free pardon of sin, may this be the day to give their hearts to you and become born again believers before it's too late. You've heard the prayer request spoken. Even know about those on our hearts that are unspoken. We just lay our petitions before your throne and seek that your will be done. May everything that we do here this morning bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody sit down. Appreciate you being here. Let's pick up the writer of Hebrews, and I've told you who I think the writer of Hebrews is. I believe it's the Apostle Paul, by the way he writes. But it doesn't say. But just by the way he writes and the way he instructs, it just makes me think of him. But notice what he says. There's a lot of good stuff here this morning concerning gratefulness and thankfulness. He says, let your conversation, and that word conversation means conduct. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, I know today everybody's about me. It's about getting everything that I can ever want to enjoy. I want, you know, the man that has the most toys, he is really that guy, isn't he? Well, beloved, let me tell you real quick that it's not about things that are going to burn up one day. You know, I could have a lot of money in the bank. I could have the nicest home in the neighborhood, drive the fanciest Ford 250, F-250, $80,000 pickup, around with my Razorback flag blowing behind. See? I could have all of that and everybody say, look at him, man, he's got the world by the tail. But listen to me, I could have everything this world has to offer. If I don't have Jesus, I have nothing. Everything that I ever obtain in this life, listen, when I draw my last breath, it's being left behind. I ain't taking it with me. And the only thing that lasts, the only thing that's going to matter is what I did with Jesus Christ. Did I make treasure in heaven? Did I lay it up? That's all that's going to matter. But everybody has that covetous streak in it. And we're all guilty. I've said, ooh, I like that truck, Brother Bob. I like your truck. Amen. Will you let me drive that to camp this year? And he graciously hands me the keys. But we tend to covet sometimes. But we covet the wrong things. It's part of who we are as humans. And people are always coveting. That house, that car, that boat, that job. And what are we warned? He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. And be content. Did he just say what I thought I read? Be content. In other words, what the writer is saying is be thankful for what you have. And if we'll be honest in the house of God this morning, you and I, if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we have a lot to be thankful for. First of all, we're not going to hell when we die. Second of all, we have been forgiven. Our slate is wiped clean. We have made peace with God through the blood of His Son who atoned for us on the cross of Calvary. And we can hold our heads up. We have something to look forward to. Heaven and facing God. I want to tell you, when I was a lost man, one, I was scared to lay my head on a pillow at night because I was afraid I would die in a lost condition. And two, I had no desire to face God. I was afraid to face God because I knew I was a sinner. But when I met the Savior, guess what? I was reconciled to God and peace was made between me and Him. I don't fear laying my head on a pillow anymore. But He says, be content with such things as you have. For He said, here's one of those eternal things I want to get this morning. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Understand, it doesn't matter what we face in this life. The Lord is not going to run out on us. He's going to be by our side each step of the way, beloved. Understand, He loves us. He's never, ever going to kick us to the curb. You and I might struggle in life. We might have health issues, financial problems, family trouble at home. But guess what? We're not alone. He's right there. Easy answer, just trust Him. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. That's eternal, preacher. That's eternal. That's something that you don't have to worry about. Yeah, I've got a lot to thank God for. Amen. Look at the next verse. So that we may boldly say, Lord's my helper. Boldly. Boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Listen, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to preach His word, and I could care less what the government or society or the neighborhood or the community tells me what I can say and what I can. I'm going to lift Him up. I don't care if you're a homosexual. God loves you. Jesus died for you, but you need to get saved and get out of that lifestyle. You have no business living that away. You're an abomination in the sight of God. Now listen, that's hate speech in some places, in some countries. But listen to me, I will preach the Word of God. They can put me in jail, they can take my life, but I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. Now, if I am in jail, I'd like to see some of y'all come and visit me. Yeah, I know. Bring me something to eat. Because I'm sure bologna sandwiches will get old. But I'm here to tell you, I do not fear what man can do to me. And I have a promise that if I am put in prison for the sake of the gospel, I'm not there alone. He's with me. Amen. Beloved, I'll go ahead and say, you know what's wrong with our preachers today? They sugarcoat everything. They're afraid of their shadow. They're not willing to stand for the Word of God. All they want to do is compromise. A lot of them are in it for a paycheck anyway. I said that. Now, I want you to understand, it's a calling. It's not a job. I'm going to tell you, this is the hardest job I've ever done. And if I didn't want to come into the ministry, the Lord saved me and He kind of grabbed me by the nape of the neck and threw me into it. I argued with Him. Lord, let somebody else, please. I'm willing to do anything you ask me. Don't ask me to do that. I know how churches treat preachers. I'm from Arkansas. We got a Baptist preacher on every corner in the church somewhere. And they're run off about every 3 years. That's the average tenure in a Baptist church. 3 years! Some even sooner than that, right, brother? 3 years. Pitiful. I thank God for this church. Put up with me for a long time. But I ain't going nowhere till the Lord says go. But when it's time for me to go, I'll go. You won't have to throw me out. But listen to me. I'm not afraid what man can do. Not at all, because He says, I'm never going to leave you. Notice what He says, so that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Is He not our helper? Absolutely. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their, what? conduct, their conversation. Now, some will say, well, that's talking about the preachers. Well, yeah, you could say that, pastor. Remember them. Pray for them. But you know what it's talking about? Because the way Paul's addressing this, the writer of Hebrews, some of you are saying, well, it doesn't say Paul. I won't argue with you. The reason he said what he said in this verse, he's talking about all of them old prophets and saints of God that proclaimed the Word of God at that time. John, James, Luke, Matthew, Mark. He's talking about them. You see, at this time, they were still having issues with the Judaizers. They were still trying to say, oh, no, now, yes, it's true. You can trust Jesus, but you've got to also keep the feast. Still have to obey the law. You still have to be circumcised. You still have to do this and do that. No. That's what he's addressing here. A lot of folks are still into helping the Lord so that they might obtain salvation. Can I tell you something? You're wasting your time. There's nothing you can do to help him because he did it all already. It's finished. It's done. All you got to do is accept. That's it. Anyways, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow. Aren't you thankful for those faithful preachers that have delivered the Word of God uncompromisingly, just preaching, thus saith the Lord, Jesus loves you, He died for you, He was buried, He rose again, and He'll save you if you'll just trust. That's the kind of preaching I like. Because it's simple. And by the way, I'll tell you, it'll all preach. You know that. You know that. All you preachers know. This whole book will preach. But if I only had one verse that I was told by the Lord, that's all I ever want you to preach, you know what it'd be? John 3:16. That's it. Because that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's it. That's the gospel. I don't have to preach politics. I don't have to preach all this other stuff. All I need to do is preach Jesus. Just Jesus. Notice. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's another wonderful promise. Jesus Christ, our God in eternity past, is the same God today as He was then. He's never, ever going to change. Now, there's many that'll tell you He's changed things. They're lying to you because He can't change. He can't change and He can't lie. He's always the same. You know what I love about that? Is even when we mess up, and by the way, you mess up, so do I. He's not going to change and say, well, you messed up one too many times. I'm done. No, when He saved me and you, He saved us forever. We can't ever lose what He gave us. By the way, He did it all. Understand me. Too many people don't understand what grace is. Listen, grace chose you and me as sinners, lost, undone, headed to hell. God's grace searched us out, called us, saved us. And guess what God's grace also did? His grace also gave us the faith to trust Him. Think about that for a second. So what do you mean, Pastor John? I mean, He did all of it. I can't do nothing. Neither can you. He did it all. He even gave me the faith to call on Him. That's what I call grace. And that's eternal, preacher. That ain't nothing that's ever going to change. And I got a reason to be thankful for that. Because it's eternal. Notice what else it says. He says, be not carried about with divers, which means various and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with, oh, there's that word, grace. Amen. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Again, gospel that those Judaizers were peddling was, oh, there's got to be sacrifices. Still got to offer those sacrifices. Got to offer that old ram, that old bullock, that old ox. We've got to offer that. Their blood has to be shed, but the problem is that blood could never cleanse and take away our sin. It was the blood of God's only begotten Son that could ever wash away and take away our sin and the guilt of that sin. Think about that this morning. There's that word grace. All of these various doctrines out there and beliefs out there. Listen, there's only one gospel. There's only one Savior. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You can mingle in, put anything you want to put in, but listen, if it ain't grace, grace only, run. Get out of there. Don't listen to anybody tell you different. Notice, don't be carried away. Can I tell you how you won't ever be carried away? Know your Bible. Pick up the book. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you. He will. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James tells you. Who gives it liberally. In other words, he's going to give you every bit that he thinks you can handle. I'll go ahead and tell you, when I first got saved, I didn't know a whole lot. Even though I was raised in church, I heard every hellfire and brimstone message you'd ever hear. Every Sunday, without fail, it was always the same thing. You better trust Jesus or you're going to hell. I mean, I heard it, and I heard it. Heard it. I'd grip the pew, knuckles turn white, never walk the aisle. But I didn't understand. And when I finally understood, the light went off. Sometimes it goes off when we're younger. Other times we're a little older. I was one of those. I was an in-betweener. 26 years old. 26! And I heard the truth every Sunday. But thank God that I did. My point is, when I first got saved, I didn't know the Bible. I should have been an authority on it. But from the time I was probably 5 years old till I was 26, I was raised. The New Testament church, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, fundamental Baptist church. Historical Baptist church. Didn't do me no good. But once I got saved, I was like a sponge. Just, oh my goodness, Lord, this is what this means. Lord, that's what that means. She'd turn the light off on me. Shut up, I'm trying to go to sleep. Because I'd read the Bible story, would we not? No, I want you to think I have it bad at home. Feel sorry for me. No, I got the better end of the stick, I'll tell you. God knew what he was doing. She keeps me straight. Now, notice, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. I want you to understand we do have an altar. That altar is Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world. And listen to me. Anybody else that doesn't come through that altar, they don't get to go to heaven. There's no other way. He's that altar. And they don't have a right. You say, Brother John, that's kind of harsh. You mean, tell me the writer of Hebrews says they don't have a right at that altar? That's exactly right. That's what he means. If it ain't through Jesus and Him only, no right. Notice, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Understand? I hope you get this too. This is good stuff. When they'd offer a sacrifice to atone for sin, they would sacrifice the animal. But they would skin it, take all the entrails out, everything, and then they would take it outside the camp because it was still considered what? Unclean. Unclean. Well, the very next verse tells us that Jesus died outside the camp. I want you to understand. I want you to see the significance of that. In fact, let me read that verse and I'll tell you what the significance is. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And let me just say, those bodies, that blood that was offered as a sacrifice to atone for sin, listen to me, all it was good for was yearly, once a year. It never atoned for sin forever. Just doesn't work that way. Look at the next verse. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. First of all, there's a difference between the blood of Jesus and the blood of a bull or a goat or not. Amen. And two, said he also suffered outside the gate. What is very important about that verse, what that pictures, is simply this. We're saved by grace through faith. We are no longer going back to that old sacrificial system that God gave the Jews before the Messiah came into the world. That's what it means. It's done. And we have Orthodox Jews today still do the same thing over and over. And the problem is they don't recognize that the Messiah has come. They're still praying for him to come. He's come and he's going to come back again. But he's already come. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. That he might sanctify the people. Here's something I'm also eternally grateful for. That word sanctify means to set aside for God's service. And think about this for a second. Blood of Jesus saved us. Set us apart for the glory of God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he knew what we were. After he saved us, he still knows exactly what we are. But we have been set aside for the glory of God. And I'm thankful that we've been sanctified. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we still got a lot of growing to do. A lot of submitting to do. Surrendering all of ourselves to God, not just part of our heart. But he saved us for that very reason, to glorify God by setting us aside. I'm thankful that he chose us. Amen? Chose us. I'll go one step further. He chose all. Think about that. Let that soak in. Chose all. Listen, the vilest of sinners out there. Person's done the vilest thing you'd ever imagine in your mind. God loved them. And Jesus went to the cross for them. And he died so that they might be saved. Notice real quick. He says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's another reason we're sanctified, set apart, is because he has enabled us to stand with him. You see, we should be more than willing to stand with him. Amen? When Jesus was on the cross, on that hill called Golgotha in the Hebrew, Calvary in the Greek. When he was on that hill, there was only one apostle there? Where were the others? Yeah, they weren't there, were they? They were hiding. They were in fear for their lives. But according to the Scripture here, we're sanctified so that we might stand with Him and not be ashamed. So when God asks us to stand for the truth, don't be ashamed. Stand up in pride that you are a born-again child of God and that you are able to bear persecution. In fact, the Bible says, if we are going to live in Christ Jesus, we're going to be persecuted. But He gives us grace. He gives us grace. Notice real quick. This is something I'm truly, eternally thankful for. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I'm going to tell you, you know what I'm thankful for? This place, Brother Ciro, ain't it. I got something to look forward to. This isn't going to be the end. Amen. We're passing through, sister. We're passing through. And you know what? Praise God that this isn't it. Because I'm going to tell you, if this world was all there was, we're going to be pretty miserable. There'll be a lot of unhappy people. And I don't care. You can have your money. You can have your house, big house on the block, and have everything that the world can offer you. You're still going to be miserable because there's only one thing that can give you peace and contentment, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. And if all we have is this world, we're going to be some unhappy people. But for those of us that know the Savior, oh, this ain't home. There's a better day coming. There's a better place the child of God gets to spend eternity with. Listen, it's going to be a place where I get to be with my Savior. It's going to be a place where the troubles of this world are never going to touch me again. I'll not have to deal with the sin problem or the temptation. I'll not have to deal with illness. I'll not have to deal with being separated from those I love. I'm in it. Oh, I'm in it. I guess you could say I'm in tall cotton. Amen. That's a lot of cotton. Because I'm looking to that city. Builder, maker, God. And I'm thankful I have somewhere to go. You know, my Aunt Jackie died this morning. You know, they were kind of sad last week. We knew family was called in. Uncle Gary had to go and make arrangements. She wrote out what her wishes were, who she wanted to preach, what song she wanted to sing, what outfit she wanted to be buried in. She did all of that. But you know, talking about consolation, she says, I'm ready. You know why? Because she looked to that city. And for all of us that know the Lamb, washed, blood bought by Christ, that's what we have to look forward to. And we can be thankful. Amen? In those very things, because they're eternal. They don't soon fade away. Real quick, and I'm going to hush. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You see, what the writer's saying there is this. He picked this up before I trip and fall. Talking about sacrifice. Praise. You know why? The writer was talking about those divers and various sacrifices that Judaizers wanted people, the other Jews, to go through all the motions of the law and all of that. And what the writer said this whole time is, listen, there ain't no more sacrifices except this one. There's only one sacrifice left. And me and you need to keep that sacrifice every time we come through the doors. And you know what they, what it is? It's a sacrifice of praise. These old lips are to praise His name. These old lips are to thank Him for everything. That's the only sacrifice that's left. All the other ones were done away with when Jesus declared, "It's finished." So, are y'all ready to sacrifice the praise of our lips this morning? Thank the Lord for His goodness. It's true. Thanksgiving's already here. And again, the older I get, the more time flies by. Isn't that the truth? But now, this week, on Thursday, families will be gathered around the table. I pray everybody here will have the right mindset and heart to remember how blessed you are and to show God gratitude for His gift. But as you gather around the table, thank God. Not only for your health, your home, your financial security, and whatnot, but above all, thank Him for those things that are eternal. Your salvation. Your home in heaven. Thank Him for these own lives. Praise Him. Thank you.